You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. I've always said I am one for a Western, and I am one for a grim Western. But there were points in Hostiles that I was Jesus Christ, guys.
I mean, the first, like, 5 minutes, not even 5 minutes, you're like, I need to be drinking something right now, too.
Well, you feel like whiskey throughout this whole thing, right? Like, the characters are just... And yet, strangely... I found, which is without any spoilers, I wish I could because I think the very ending is the most interesting part of this
entire film. Is, yeah.
It makes a very hopeful choice at the very end of it. Like literally the last shot was like, wow, that was a fascinating choice.
They and I didn't think they were going to do that.
I did not
I thought that was like just like a very nice long shot. And I think, okay, then, you know,
but
it happened.
It's a great bookmark to a film that desperately needed rays of light in it because this thing is so unrelentingly bleak throughout most of it.
Yeah.
And both a graphic violence happening on screen, characters dying horribly, and just people talking about life in the old West the way we talk about life under President Trump. Like, is it worth it?
Yeah, kind of.
We're at the end times. What is the point of all this?
It is so
why are we even staying alive now?
It's surprisingly, like, timely.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the most timely Western I think I've ever seen.
Well, I mean, it really is about, like, sort of, at its core, it's about human beings refusing to understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular case, through, you know, racism.
Yeah.
You know, but it's also like, if we would just spend some time with each other, we would probably start to realize we're really not all that different at all.
I like
and
that.
But at the same time, it's like, yeah, we both suck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just one revelation after another. But I think that I love that this experience bonds everybody together. You know, I think it's really, cause it is incredibly, incredibly violent. It's so grim and so bleak, but there is a little bit of a warmth to it as well.
Right.
And a softness.
That starts creeping in around the edges. I mean, because there's always a sense... Well, let's get into the plot.
Yeah, go for it.
It's 1892. We start with seeing a guy and his family, Rosamund Pike being the guy's wife, her having two daughters and a baby.
Mm-hmm.
A Comanche war party attacks and murders everyone, except for Rosamund Pike, who gets away with a dead baby in her arms.
And yeah, and that's just like...
Who's just snapped. You know, at this point, as most people probably would. We flash to New Mexico, where Captain Joseph Blocker, played by Christian Bale, who at first in this movie is kind of... I was like, are you Batman? Because he's kind of doing the Batman voice.
He kind of is. And he's just another definition of brooding.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, he's just like so...
He's a captain. He's at the very end of his career. You know,
and
you know, you kept waiting for them to go, you have 5 days till retirement. Who's like, he's just tired and he just at all costs wants out.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's told by his captain, hey, the president is trying to like create good relations with sort of a rising liberal tide in the country. Like, yeah, maybe we have been treating these Native Americans really, really fucking shitty. So this one Native American who they have had in custody
for a long time,
along with his whole family, played by Wes Studi, who's not a name
that
most people recognize.
Yeah.
But when you see him, you're like, I've seen him in so many things. Dances with Wolves, he's a big role. Last of the Mohicans, he's a big role.
Yeah.
Geronimo, The New World, Heat, Mystery Men, Avatar, A Million Ways to Die in the West,
which I love.
Penny Dreadful, Street Fighter. he's one of the most famous Native American actors, Cherokee specifically, that has ever been in the business. And he's, you know, he's an older gentleman here.
And he's
told
dying.
This guy's dying. He's got the cancer.
The cancer.
And the president's given him and his family a pardon. And we want you and a crew to take him and his family back to Cherokee native land.
It's Adam Beach, who's like really great in this.
Right.
Yeah.
They're like, it's a big trip. But after this, you know, yeah, you're done. You can go get your pension. You can do whatever the fuck you
want
to do.
But he doesn't want to.
And he's like, I don't want to. Fuck these guys. They're brutal savages. I want nothing to do with them. You know, this guy is a brutal savage. I know the shit that he's done. And he's like, well, look, you can either not get your pension or you can do this.
He put up, I'm impressed. He put up quite a fight. He does not want to go on this mission.
But, you know, it helps that he's gets to bring along basically the guy who is his best friend, played by Rory Cochrane,
who looks
more tired and burned out than he is,
you
know, by all this. They're both at the end of their career, and there's a lot of talk from the get-go of, like, I'm so tired of this life. I'm so tired of all the killing and the horrors that we have lived with our whole lives doing this. This is nothing could be worse than this existence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as they go out on this thing, like, well, we're keeping these motherfuckers chained up no matter what they told us to do because they're just savages.
Because we've seen too much.
Them.
We know too much to trust. Yeah.
And as it goes along, they start not just starting to realize these guys are not going to stab us in the back and maybe we can let down our guard, but that they start encountering other people along the way. Like, they find Rosamund Pike, who's shell-shocked as fuck, and they're like, okay, we'll get her to the next fort. And they eventually get to get someplace, and they're asked to take Ben Foster along with them, who is a soldier who actually used to work underneath Christian Bale and admired him, but went fucking bug nuts crazy and had murdered a bunch of people and now was wanted to be escorted back somewhere to be hanged.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of elements of, like, things that start... Like, all these things start building to this inevitable plateau of violence.
You also got the Comanches.
Yes.
That are terrorizing them throughout.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, who are responsible for killing Rosamund Pike's family and burning down their land because they wanted to steal their horses. And they're crossing their, you know, the whole party is crossing through their terrain. And, yeah. So they come and they knock off a couple soldiers. And, you know, including poor little Timothée Chalamet, who had two lines in this film.
Yeah, who didn't get to be there for very long. Like, they just, he called that French guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah. Dude from Lady Bird. Dude from Columbia.
You know, and once again, Jesse Plemons playing one of the main soldiers who's along the way, who once again is showing that he is a really solid young actor who's got something to prove.
I mean, more than just a Matt Damon clone, damn it.
Matt Damon. That's what we call him. He's Meth Damon.
Meth Damon.
He's crystal methed out Matt Damon. No, but actually he really is I always think he's good in stuff regardless. I mean, we joke because of the way he looks, but he really is a good actor and he's really good in this. But I think that, like, this film, it really is a descent into hell. It's a journey into darkness.
It is.
With these characters, the only thing that's keeping them from descending to being the level of just pure savagery is the bonds they start discovering with each other.
Yeah, they find this common ground, and it transcends, you know, sex, race, because everybody, films of this genre, they always focus on the fighting and never on the psychology. And you see, like, the mental anguish of years of, you know, being Christian Bale's character coming out. You know, having to kill and kill and kill. You see Rosamund Pike's, you know, journey through the five stages of grief, you know, and the sort of courage and the inspiration they have to carry on.
Yeah, you really are. She is not treated as just a damsel in distress in this film at all.
I thought, well, she's the wife role sort of thing.
Deceptive what they do with her in that... In a way, she becomes the symbol for Christian Bale to heal those long wounds that have been there deeper and longer than her fresh ones about understanding what forgiveness really means.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's so much stuff like that going on under the surface that it's a shame a lot of people are not going to get into this movie because of its length and because of its pacing.
It is plotting at times, but then it just washes over you the emotions and, I did not like Crazy Heart, it's a Scott Cooper film here.
That's the only one I like by Scott Cooper.
Really?
I don't like any of his other movies
I didn't see Out of the Furnace, so I don't know.
Care for it.
I thought Black Mass was interesting, but then that wasn't really his film. He was just,
doing
it. But, I like that this movie, he, you know, most directors want to tell you stuff, and this he seemed with this film wants you to think about stuff.
Yes, it's very pensive, meditative film. Yeah. That yet stuff does happen. It's not one of, I mean, this isn't Jim Jarmusch's Dead Man, which all meditative, pensive, which I love, mind you, but it's not that.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff is happening. People are getting killed left and right in this.
This is not
movie.
A boring film. It's a quiet film, but it's not.
Yeah.
You know.
When violence happens, it's sudden and shocking and short.
And it's, you know, the way violence did happen then, back then, and kind of does now too, to an extent, but, yeah, so it because of that, it does take you more back.
Yeah.
And, but man, it does sort of make you think about, just questions of, class, race, the whole bit, but, that none of that matters when you're all in it really together, which everyone here is. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm still thinking about it. I'm still trying to process it all.
It was really a lot of that. I was like, I spent a good hour afterwards just kind of thinking about it. I was like, wow. There was a lot to unpack in that movie. Yeah. And I think visually it's gorgeous. This is one of the movies that I'm so sad they did not screen this in theaters for us.
Yeah.
Because it's a visually gorgeous movie, too.
Who did the cinematography on this?
I'm not sure. It's a Masanobu Takayanagi, who is known for Silver Linings Playbook, Warrior, and The Gray, all three of which were gorgeous-looking movies.
Warrior especially is a very beautiful film.
Warrior, deeply underrated movie.
Yeah, oh, totally.
Oh, my God.
But I love what I really love is Rosamund Pike and Christian Bale in this film, what really stood out is that they're both, even though they're completely different characters, they will never have a reason to interact, but they're both now at this time and place asking themselves, well, who am I now?
Yeah.
The
everything in my life is different all of a
that
sudden.
That define them is gone.
Yeah.
You know? And
I mean, with Bale, it's about to be gone.
Yeah.
With Pike, it is.
Uh-huh.
And Bale's looking for a reason to exist at all, and so is she.
Mm-hmm.
You know, despite the fact everything's been already taken away from her, he's seeing the last thing and having to do an act that's truly abhorrent to him, helping these Native Americans.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, what was all this worth if here's where I ended up? And it really is a movie about two people healing each other.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Know? Helping each other heal. And also, I think in a way, sort of searching for redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Because
even while even more horrible shit is happening to both of them along the way.
Exactly. You know, she, I get the, you know, I love the way she sort of became a protector of this family.
Yeah.
In her own way. You know, you see her when...
Yeah, there's that point you realize you're watching a family story with all of these characters.
Yeah.
And this long journey has made, you know, the survivors into a family proper.
Yeah, exactly. Like a family, yeah, definitely a family of misfits in a sense. But, you know, he's certainly... This is his atonement for him, without question. And that final standoff... And with that, we mean, you know, he's not going to let them be...
Right, well, let's not go into spoiler territory.
Yeah.
Film stars this in Liverpool again.
I won't. No, hey, everything is in that trailer or on IMDb in the trivia page, okay?
No, but that's not an excuse, because they even say spoilers section of the trivia, so...
They kind of do, yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do.
All right, let's get a final thoughts.
You know, this is a slow film, but it's so rich. It's got enough action to it, so it earns its action badge. But it makes you think, and it asks so many more questions than it ever answers, which I love. And it's a very gorgeous one. It's very, very cinematic. And when a Western is cinematic, man, you just cannot beat that.
Hmm.
It's brilliantly acted all the way around.
Great
Bale, I mean, I wouldn't want anybody but Bale to play this kind of role, because he gets that sort of contained sort of maddening and sort of despairing sense of the character going through, as is Rosamund Pike and Adam Beach. And I mean, I love the way these characters interact. I love the bonds that they all form. And even though it's under the guise of sort of, you know, the threat of our lives could end at any moment, it's very beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think it says a lot about humanity and how it strips away any sort of, you know, mores or anything that sort of held us or, you know, categorized us, rather. It's not going to be for everybody, but I think everybody should see it, you know, because everybody will get something out of it, even if they don't like it. I really got to give this maybe 9 out of 10. You know, shout out Timothée Chalamet, because, you know, poor guy, didn't have a chance.
Yeah, you know, when we first started, I made kind of a joke about like Donald Trump and like how we all feel right now. And honestly, in some ways, this is kind of the film. If you're feeling like that, you're just feeling like, Jesus, are we living in the end?
We haven't woken up from the dream yet.
What now?
Yet. Yeah.
What's happening now? How did we get here?
Yeah.
How are things this bad? This, in some ways, is like that film that takes you through that tunnel of horrors, only to show you a little bit of light at the end.
Yeah.
To go, you know what? No matter how dark it gets, there's always hope.
But you need to keep going.
Yeah.
Which literally this film tells you to do.
Yeah. I found this incredibly gorgeous movie. I really, really loved it. I really look forward to giving myself some space and then coming back and watching it again
yeah.
at some point, because this is definitely a movie I will revisit and is, you know, one of those sort of modern, in its way, a meta-Western, you know.
Yeah. No.
That is, I think, right, I put, you know, up there, if you love movies like Unforgiven, this is a movie you should be checking out and really love as well. I'm kind of surprised it's only at like 74% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm like, what are you people not liking about this movie?
I mean,
general audience members, okay, fine. I get it. Like, so a lot of people want something that's a lot faster paced or whatever, a lot more overt and not as subtextual.
It does go in a little bit different directions.
Yeah.
At a certain time, but they're going through a journey.
I mean,
their journey's going to have a lot of side journeys.
I just didn't have any problem with any of that. I thought all of that added to the bigger story. I didn't think anything that happened to them was like, why was that even in there? I was like, well, it seems very clear why it was in there to me.
It's like a mosaic piece.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the shit out of this movie. At its worst, yeah, it is a little longer than it needed to be because there's a lot of deep loving cinematic shots of the landscape, which is gorgeous, but we've seen a lot of Westerns.
A lot of panning in this movie.
we've seen more of Montana than we ever needed to see,
yeah,
quite
exactly.
frankly, in all the movies before this. So I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10 really badass Darth Maul looking war paint.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was like, geez, you guys spend so much time. You guys could kill more people than spend time making yourself up.
Dude, Darth Maul got another role. I thought after Insidious, we wouldn't see him in anything else, but here he is.
Yeah.
He's back again.
Yeah.